Chapter 41. Nia approached and touched Lucy's arm lightly. Lucy pulled it away in panic, starting to stuff the remaining paper in her pocket. Lucy had made a poor job of trying to get rid of the paper, and slowly the sea was returning it to the shore. Nia bent down and started to pick the pieces up, and straight away she spotted that one had a small blob of red wax on it.
"My God, what are you doing with this letter?" she demanded.
"I found it in my pocket," said Lucy, crying now. "Someone must have put it there this afternoon. I promise you it's nothing to do with me."
"But who would do that?"
"I don't know. I found it when we came back from Joe's. Oh, God, I'm so scared, Nia. Someone's trying to frame me for Ruby's murder, aren't they? But I didn't do it. I didn't kill Ruby."
She turned to Nia.
"You know about the accident, don't you?"
Nia led her away from the sea, back up the beach. "I know you were driving the car that night. It was plain from the photograph Ruby had taken. Why else would the driver's seat have been that far forward?" she said simply. Lucy nodded.
"You're right. I was the person driving. Ian was at home. I was driving back from my craft group. My mind was all over the place. I veered over to the other side of the road, collided with Ruby. It wasn't far from home. I panicked. I rang Ian and he came straight out. Unfortunately, Ruby had already rung the police, so he sent me home."
"And that's when the lies started. He told the police he was driving, and he persuaded Ruby to do the same." Lucy nodded.
"It was all so stupid. It was such a minor bump. No one was hurt."
"But Ian thought you'd been drinking. He was worried you'd be breathalyzed."
"He was. And that's why he sent me away. He took the blame for the accident."
"It was a huge risk lying about an accident. He could go to prison for that."
"I know. We both knew the chance he was taking, but as it was so minor, we didn't think any more would be said about it."
"But Ruby didn't think so."
"Oh, Ruby, she was so messed up. She kept saying she shouldn't have lied to the police."
"She was right."
"But none of it mattered."
"It did to Ruby. What I don't understand is why didn't you tell Ian there and then you hadn't been drinking?"
"Because I didn't want to tell him about my illness. I was worried that maybe I shouldn't have been driving with the queries about my health. Meniere's is one of those illnesses you have to report to the DVLA.
"But you hadn't been diagnosed then. Had you been told not to drive?"
Lucy shook her head.
"No, not then, but I knew I wasn't feeling right. When I was telling Ian about it all, he was so cross with me. He said the police would have probably been lenient at the time, but as it was, we'd ended up lying to the police and it was all my fault."
"Ian chose to lie as well," said Nia gently. "I have a feeling he was guarding his own reputation. This isn't all on you."
"If only Ruby had kept quiet, stopped nagging us about owning up to what actually happened the night of the accident."
"But she wouldn't give up."
"No, but you have to believe me. As stressful as it was, I didn't kill her to silence her," said Lucy. "The problem is, I think someone is trying to make it look like I did. That person who took the ring into the shop drenched it in my perfume, and now this letter."
"You could go to the police. Explain."
"I can't. I saw them and I'm so scared."
"What did you see?"
"I saw the person who pushed Hugo over the cliff."
"Who was it?" Nia asked urgently. But before Lucy could answer, Nia heard a crunching on the pebbles behind her, turned and saw Ian striding towards them.
"There you are, Lucy. I was looking for you."
"I came for some fresh air," Lucy said hurriedly and walked over to him.
Turning to Nia, she gave a quick shake of her head to silence her, then added,
"I'll be off now. Good to chat. Don't worry about anything."
Ian put his arm around Lucy and together they left the beach. Nia looked down at the piece of paper in her hand, felt the red wax. Lucy said someone was trying to frame her. Could it be Ian? Or was she simply a clever liar, and had she been trying to get rid of the evidence? And had Lucy really just told her that she saw someone kill Hugo? If she was right, then surely Lucy's life was in danger, unless, of course, that was another lie. Nia shook her head, called Romeo, and together they made their way home. The rain was heavy by the time they reached the front door. She looked around to see Joe running up the road, trying to keep dry by holding a leather jacket over his head. He needs an umbrella, she thought,
but then so many young people didn't seem to like them. She looked over at the postcard Safi had sent her. That worried her, but she couldn't think why. "I might be going a bit mad," she said to Romeo. "TV and an early night for us." Later, she gave Romeo his final meal, and they went to bed. She was glad to draw the curtains and shut out the rain she could hear splattering against the window. It was cosy with her bedside light on, and she started to read. Eventually, sleep caught up with her. Her eyes closed. She reached over, turned off the light, and lay down to sleep. It could have been 1 hour later. It could have been 6. She had lost track of time by then, but she was woken by the sound of her letterbox and something falling onto the doormat. She wrapped her dressing gown around herself and crept down the stairs nervously. On the doormat, she could make out the outline of a small parcel. She picked it up and started to unwrap it. Her hands shaking, she knew immediately what it was. Nia opened the front door, looked up and down the close, but it was empty. Whoever had delivered this had been quick and was safe back inside their home. She slammed the door, turned on the lights, and looked at the voodoo doll. It was similar to Ruby's, the same face, carefully sculpted, wrinkled, with mean, cruel eyes that glared at her. It was made of twigs, although the dress was made of blue silk. There were pins sticking in it. Most upsetting was the hair around its neck, which Nia knew instantly was her own hair. She remembered the hair taken from her hairbrush and knew the person who had broken in that day, who had rummaged among her things, was the same person who had made this. They had been planning this all that time ago. Nia felt her stomach muscles clench. Ruby was right. It wasn't the stupid voodoo doll that really upset her, as unpleasant as that was. It was the intent, the thought that had gone into this. This person was deadly serious. Even if she didn't believe it could hurt her, they did. And their motivation was hate.